Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready for this one?
UCR.
Go.
Unstoppable, original, uncensored radio.
Leave me alone. I am suffering from mental anguish today, all right, and soft tissue damage. All right, we're off the hook because, one, I just ate, like, a whole tub of cookies, so I'm, like, on a sugar high right now, and also because Angelique Bates is here.
Woohoo! Yes, yes.
Hey, Tiggy, what's been going on?
Hey, just chilling, trying to stay warm.
It's been a while since we got to talk to you.
I know. It's been so much going on. I just had a birthday weekend where I partied 3 days straight.
Ooh, fabulous. What were
you
drinking?
Well, the first night, I did, you know, a family dinner, did the thing with my kids and family, waited for the kids to go to bed, and I went out clubbing. Then Friday, I went out clubbing. Then on Saturday, I did a red carpet that ended up turning into a club. And then Sunday, I just, like, completely recuperated. Yeah, it was a nice Ciroc weekend. Like, I just kept on drinking. I was like, I want to try Ciroc. So I finally got it, and I was just, like, mixing it with everything. So, yeah, I won't be drinking for another 5 months.
Oh, no.
Right.
I completely understand.
You know, isn't it funny how that sort of happens, though? Like, do you guys go through the same sort of phases that I do with alcohol? Like, if I get a little bit, drink too much of a certain alcohol, like, we'll say vodka, I can't drink it again for, like, at least a good 3 or 4 months. Does that happen to you, too?
Yeah. It does. It really hits me worse because, you know, like I said, I have the kids. So I don't, you know, obviously I'm not walking around tipsy or whatever, so I go months without drinking. So when these events come up, I'm like, oh, yay, it's time for me to get drunk. So you know, I'm, like, super lightweight. And I'm like, like, if you ask my cousin, like, I think it was Friday night, yeah, my lightweightness kicked in. Let's just say she had to go to the car wash the next morning.
Oh.
I think her paint was not black anymore on the outside.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Hey, but it was fun. Hey, it's not fun unless you throw up. No, it's lame.
No.
Well,
okay, look at it. Now, this past Sunday, the Sunday before, I woke up and there was a prank going on. We always steal each other's Christmas stuff. So I, like, went up the street, came home. My cousin, her boyfriend, and my significant other are in the living room drinking at 11 in the morning to some spoof of a Twilight movie. And every time this girl does a Kristen Stewart thing, they were drinking. So they got me to drink. It ended up 14 hours of drinking.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get sick, but Monday was really rough. I thought I was going to die. And I have not touched alcohol since. Good. I'm good.
It's a good thing.
And it's going to be a long time before I drink vodka again.
Be sure okay.
Oh, can't do it. It's rough. You know, because when I like to do stuff, I like, you know, balls to the wall or just go home. The hell with it.
Right.
I've seen if I get, like, an Olympic gold medal or something for the longest hours of drinking. But, oh, honey, I forget I'm getting old.
Right. I'm right there with you. Well, you know, New Year's is coming up, so if we can hold out to New Year's.
That's what I'm not sure. Well, I'm a little concerned because we're going to the in-laws this coming weekend, and it's never good.
Oh, Lord. No, that is never good. I will get random. Well, you know, we'll put it to you this way. Not only me now, but Karen and Katrina also get these random texts and photos of Jeff doing crazy things. I think the last time you were at your in-laws, there was a photo of some deer horns and someone wearing a paper hat. I don't even know.
Oh, yeah, because the in-laws are big hunters. So they, like, caught a deer, And they were, they always try to, like, harass me and get me to come out when they're, like, doing the awful things they do to it to turn it into meat. And I just can't be bothered. And, yeah, I guess I was a little drunk and ended up with a paper bag on my head. I'm not really sure what was going on there.
At least no one drew on you with, like, lipstick and woke up with whipped cream on your face like someone did to one of my roommates.
Oh.
She wrapped all around his body.
I've done the drunk person pass out. I did the Sharpie marker on them, like all over their entire body. And the only thing
wrong.
This kid said when he woke up was he looked at his one arm and he said, "That's how you spell dyke?" That's all he noticed.
That is funny.
All he knew. Oh, it was bad.
Oh. Oh, wow. Well, Jeff, they want to know in the chat room, sorry to sort of like go back here a little bit, but they want to know what the spoof was for the Twilight movie. They're curious.
Joe, what was that spoof movie that you guys were watching and that we started drinking to? Vampires Suck. And I have to say, the girl definitely had some Kristen Stewarting, like the whole like hands in the pocket thing, and like, I don't know, like she just, she had her mannerisms down. It was a violent drinking game. It was horrible. But I'm telling you, if you ever get bored, try it. Get Vampire Suck, and every time the girl does a Kristen Stewart move, drink. You will be drunk by the end of the film.
Okay.
It's bad news.
I'll just make sure I don't get in the car when I'm watching it.
That is true. That is true, folks. We laugh and joke on
the
show all the time about drinking and having a good time, but, you know, never drink and drive. There, I did my public duty for the day.
Oh, yeah. Well, Mike, you're such a ridiculousness.
Well, I have to, you know, we're a family show, sort of. Maybe not really, but...
Family show my
there.
Ass.
For the kids.
If you've
the
got kids,
kids
listening to this radio show program, you need Jesus in your life.
Jesus is always...
He is going to tell you to change the dial. Do not let your children listen to this show because they will know shit they are not supposed to know. I say that with love.
This is true, but, you know, if you're not quite able to get Jesus in your life, which I hope you're able to, you can always get something a little furry for your life, and Jeff got something that was a little furry this weekend.
Oh, are you talking about me?
Yeah.
Yeah, you. You got something furry.
Yeah. Oh, yes, Joe and I, we have a new daughter. Her name is Izzy LaRue. She is a Boston Terrier. Mixed with some pug, and she's just the cutest damn thing ever, and she loves her little outfits, and I'm taking a page right out of Katrina's book, and she has, hello, honey, yes, I know, I'm talking about you on the radio. She has a pink collar with diamonds on it, and she has a pink coat, and yeah, she's totally spoiled. It's horrible, I was tripped out because all my friends were like, don't do it. Mike was one of them. They're like, don't do it. Because my grandmother, I have my grandmother's curse. She would get a dog, keep it for 2 months, and get rid of it. You know, we just don't. And I can't do the whole peeing on the floor thing. But, you know, I mean, I haven't had a dog in like 10 years. So I'm like, you know, I'm older. I kind of know the ropes, know what's going to happen. So she has not had a single accident in the house.
Nice.
She's gone outside every time. She's been excellent, excellent. She's been an excellent dog, except last night I'm like, you know, my mother is totally like anti-animals. Just because I don't want them in her home. My mother's obsessed with her. She calls her granddaughter. She has been out buying her stuff for Christmas, so she has presents under the tree.
Oh!
It's a little ridiculous. Like, she is the new obsession. And last night we went to put her in her crate, and we put it in our room because I didn't want her to not be in the room with us because what if she was whining and she needed to go potty? So we put her in the crate. She just she only whines just a tiny amount. And I'm like, you know, maybe we should put her downstairs because I'm going to end up feeling, you know, I'm going to get her out of the crate. Like, I won't be able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm constantly yelling at the daycare
clear,
parents,
like, I think
do not get your child out of the crib. Leave your child. They will be fine. And here I am picking a dog up out the crate. Make Joe take the crate downstairs. The dog, I'm having her play in bed with me. Joe comes in. Lays in the bed, doesn't the damn dog put his head on the pillow and pass out?
Mm-hmm.
She slept in that bed all night long.
Oh.
And she was rolling over, but was killing me. And she kept putting her, she had to have her head on the pillow. Like, she wasn't playing. Like, Joe rolled over, and she, like, came over to my side because she wanted a pillow.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what's funny. So she's a little princess.
Jeff, we got to clear up. Okay, when you say crate, you're talking like a cage with a bed in it, not like a wooden box with tiny air holes, right? Because they're flipping out in the chat room right now.
Who's flipping out? Well, tell them to go scratch.
You say crate, and when you say the word crate, I think of, like, a wooden box with air holes in the top that you would keep, like, a snake in or something, not a dog.
Like Madagascar.
Are you kidding? What is wrong with you people? What kind of a monster do you take me for? I watch children during the day. You think I put a dog in a fucking wooden crate? Have you lost your mind? People.
Okay, well, I'm just trying to, you know, just cover your bases. There are people in the chat room, and PETA may be listening. I just would hate for you to have child dog services over to your house to take away your daughter.
TMZ.
Picture this.
Yeah, TMZ. Perez Hilton.
I know. I saw somebody ask for a picture in the chat room. She's on Joe's lap in this picture, wrapped up in a blanket because she had just had a bath, and I put on her special pink pajama dress. So here's the picture coming to Facebook.
I want
to
see.
Okay, we took a vote. You should call it a cage.
Well, okay, it's a kennel. But it needs
that's better.
In this house. I can't do it. And she's also spoiled because she gets held all day long.
Aww, so cute.
Like, I can't, and I kind of feel I have this, like, guilty conscience, and my mother's making horrible fun at me, because I'm the first person to yell at parents for doing that with their children. Like, put your damn child down, they don't need to be held all the time, and here I am holding this damn dog, like, it's my lifeline.
See, that is so precious. I know she licks you too, huh?
She what?
She tries to lick you, because I have three chihuahuas, and that's all they do. They just like to jump all over the place, like, lick your hand and then your face and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it's just, it's different this time. Like, last night I'm laying in bed and I'm just, like, watching her. Like, I hardly slept because I just, it was the cutest thing. And, like, I don't know, it's just different now that I'm older, you know. And I'm like, it's so weird that I could love an animal that much because I was always like, oh, the hell with it. Like, our crazy cat lady, she went to the vet a couple weeks ago with her cat and they said it was going to be $1,000. I'm like, you better tell them to put that son of a bitch down. But you'll understand when you get an animal. I'm like, the hell I will. I'm like, honey, if I went to the doctor and they said my child was going to cost $1,000, I'd be like, put that bitch down.
Mm-mm.
Oh.
I go get a Kia.
You ain't right. You ain't
so
right.
Wrong.
Miss LaRue, go in there with Daddy. Go get Daddy. Oh, good girl. No, but no, go get, what are you doing? Sister.
Okay. Oh, gosh. Angelique, you have no idea. Like, it was one thing I used to get random phone calls from Jeff throughout the day because he would want to, like, yell about Joe or his mom or his grandma or something. Now I get phone calls, and he gets about maybe two or three words out, and then all of a sudden I hear, ooja, 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 ooja. I want to squeeze your face. I'm going to squeeze your face off. I'm like,
why do we do that?
Well, I know, like, I feel like an idiot. Like, I'm talking to the dog in baby voice all
time. I'm like, oh, hello, Miss LaRue. Hello, how are you doing today? Who is your favorite baby? Who is your favorite baby?
And you know that dog is just looking at him, shaking his head.
Right.
But you know what,
like babies do.
Now, oh, no. She got to talk to Uncle Mike today on the phone. And I put it on speakerphone and put the phone by her, and Mike started barking, and she just, like, twisted her head and looked at it like, this dude's crazy. Like, she knew. She knew. But, you know, it's horrible. As I went to the, you know, we got her, and then we went to the puppy store and, like, kind of went crazy and bought her some outfits. And, of course, I'm like, do they have an all-natural organic section in here?
Lord.
My mother's like, are you kidding me? I'm like, yeah, it's okay if I eat shit, but the dog's going to have, you know, eat all natural organic food.
Right. Make sure you definitely get the breath mints because the dog is cute now, but in a month or so, you're going to get in your face, you're going to catch that whiff, and you're going to be like, woo.
Oh, no.
That's
breath.
True.
And then she snores to boot. Like, the other night, I didn't know if it was Joe or if it was the dog.
Right.
I was like, this is some bullshit.
Oh, wow. Well, my weekend wasn't
quite as adventurous with getting a puppy and all of that. Mm-hmm. But as you guys saw on the Facebook page, I was very hard at work planning out our shows for this week with a couple bottles of wine and a wine glass.
A couple. Hey, I think you hit up the whole winery.
Well, what can I say? I fully stocked the wine bar, and well, I killed most of it this weekend. I never realized it. It's so funny because I was talking to Karen, and I was talking to our good buddy Michael Fishman the other night, and I was saying, you know, I had no idea when Jeff came up with this crazy idea for a show about five women with five different views in different. Just kidding. When he came up with this crazy idea for a radio show, how much of the, like, planning and work actually goes into it? Like, it's it's unreal. I'm a perfectionist, so, you know, if I don't do it and it doesn't get done, it's just going to annoy my face and I'm going to have to do it anyways, which unfortunately Jeff realized.
I did not do it well enough for Michael, because when I would play in the shows, I would go and pull stuff out of, like, you know, any website or whatever, like a news article or whatever. And instead of putting the topic questions, I would just copy and paste the news articles and send them in an email. Well, Michael got lost his mind.
I couldn't understand it. It's all this. It's not even formatted correctly. It's this long articles are getting all mixed together. I think I'm reading about Sarah Palin, but it turns out it's Chaz Bono. I'm like, what the hell? For a minute, I thought Sarah Palin went and got herself switched. But, you know.
Oh, no.
Oh my goodness.
No, you thought Chaz Bono was Sarah Palin.
That's true. That's true. Like, damn. Sarah Palin, you
got
it.
Show. Becoming Chaz was not Sarah Palin.
Anyway, needless to say, so my weekend was fairly routine. You know, some wine glasses and some show planning. But by Monday, So I got rear-ended by a BMW today, you guys.
And he is not abbreviating some man's name, so he is not happy.
No.
Wow.
No. Like BMW, literally, like BMW, I think it was like the car version. What the hell is that, like an X3 or a CL or I don't know what it was. I'm just minding my own business, driving around, doing my thing. Next thing I know, wham. BMW just plows right into the back of me.
Okay.
And that was not the kind of wham you were looking for.
Not quite so much. It's the other kind of wham doesn't usually give me a headache afterwards. Just saying.
Oh my goodness.
Honey, we're in the gutter tonight.
Just saying. But y'all remember I didn't bring us there. So, I mean,
you're the one that got whammed, dude. Not me.
Bam, bam,
no
whammy. Bam, bam.
Some guy named
exactly. Gamer. This poor guy, I felt so bad. I mean, he's driving around this really nice BMW, beautiful black car, shiny. He took care of it, and of course he's got his little, you know, Lindsay Lohan wannabe girlfriend woman with him, and she's all sorts of annoyed because her boyfriend just plowed into the back of my ugly-ass Chevy Malibu, you know, and she's getting all interrupted from her going to her massage or her nails.
Without saying the name, I just have to tell everybody this car is plastered, okay? It's got like a wraparound thing for the company Michael works for, and it is an insurance company. So not only did this fool rear-end somebody, but he rear-ended them that is a walking or a driving commercial for an insurance company. So how much of an asshole does he look like at the side of the road?
Oh,
that's
a
major fail.
Yeah, and I mean, it's our cars are, I would have to say, if you're looking for an insurance company car, you would be able to spot ours like a mile away, all right? I mean, I'm not going to say the name because I try to keep my business all separate.
Yeah,
but,
don't look for a lizard. You won't find that lizard there.
They're green, and there's a yellow road sign with a certain small spokesman in the yellow road sign who happens to have an unknown accent that may possibly come from Britain or Australia. That's all I'm saying. But, so, yeah. Needless to say, his poor, beautiful, beautiful BMW has some green paint all over the front of his bumper now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ask Michael what he did for this guy. Go ahead. Ask him, girl.
What happened?
Michael
is
an insurance claim adjuster, so he goes and looks at the damaged cars.
Okay.
This is the sad part about it. I mean, you're like, okay, if you guys have ever been rear-ended before, you know, you're a little bit of, you know, in a little bit of a shock, you know? I mean, you guys don't normally bust out of your car with your digital camera in hand and start snapping pictures of the other person's registration and the damages to their vehicle. And the damages. We pull off into the parking lot. I start looking at my bumper, and I'm like, they would probably have to replace the bumper. I mean, it's an older Malibu. It's a fleet car. They might not even pursue it because they're going to trade this thing in or ditch it in a year anyway. He's like, well, that's good if they don't pursue it. So then I go look at his BMW. I'm like, well, you got some paint damage here. It's not cracked. You're going to need a new license tag holder, though, because this thing's shot. And the biggest expense for you is going to be your sensors here in the front because you knocked out your park sensor. Those aren't cheap on a BMW, sir. I'm going on and on. I'm snapping my pictures. Now, most people, you know, you get rear-ended, you're probably like, my neck, my back.
Right.
No.
Right.
I guess it's just in my blood or whatever that this was like the job for me because I've never been fazed by a car accident. I got
sideswiped.
That's true. I got sideswiped by a city bus last year.
By the Central.
Wow! In the same car?
Yeah. No, different car.
Oh.
No, that was my personal vehicle got sideswiped by the bus. And I mean, the rear end thing, you know, that's no big deal. But the bus side swipe, like, literally took out the driver's side of my car, like two doors. I'm driving along. I got glass flying in my face. And don't you know, I just pull off to the side of the road. I put my hand on my head, and I'm like, really? All I wanted to do was go home and eat some damn cheese puffs. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
This fool has lost his honey, but look, he gets into a car accident almost every year. So what he's telling me about, I'm like, really? You couldn't even make it a full year without getting into an accident? Because it wasn't even a year ago that Central bus whacked him.
Oh, my gosh. That is crazy.
It was a little more than a year. Well, you know, like, you think back about it, though. Jeff, remember when you did a 360 in the Geo Prism and flew it into a tree? I was the first one. I jumped out of the back seat. Like, this car was totaled off, did a 360, smashed into a tree and landed in a ditch. I'm the first one out of the car waving for the ambulance like, he did it.
Oh, wow.
Oh, no. He was on the phone because we were not even a mile down the road from his house calling his stepmother, can you come get me because Jeffrey just totaled the car.
I was mad. He was going to make me late for work, and I was going to miss out on a paycheck.
Oh, my gosh. That reminds me of my car accident. I had two car accidents. I had one accident where I was trying to hurry up and run to work. My ex made me mad. I thought he was going to make me late. I decided to put Eminem in, and I was going.
You knew you
were in
trouble there.
Right. I put Eminem in, and I'm driving, minding my business. This guy decides that he wants to run the light. And completely totaled my car. And my Eminem CD would not come out of the CD player. It's still stuck at the junk shop to this day. And then let's see. I have another, a perfect one. I was trying to go get gas, mind my own business. You know, the light's turning red. I'm turning into the gas station. And this guy in his big expedition with his wife and kids, this nice silver grill, decides he wants to speed up and run the light. Totals my car, makes my car spin, and it looks like I'm coming out of the gas station by the time my car lands.
Oh, no.
like my whole left and right side was completely smashed in. The airbags came out and everything. Like I had to climb out the window. Like it was crazy. When the ambulance came, they were just like, "Oh my God, we thought we were gonna have to get spoons and spoon people out." I'm like, "Gee, thanks." that's my car accident experience. So don't ever play Eminem when you're mad and you're driving. Not a good concept.
Oh,
you know, I was able to get my CD out when I totaled the Angry Midget's car there, our darling Angry Midget. I totaled her car. I hit a telephone pole because I swerved to miss a rabbit. It's a real long story, but anyways. So I was pissed because my CD was stuck in the CD player, too. I made them, like, hook up a battery to the car frame so that it would give power to the radio to get my CD out because I wasn't leaving without it because I had just mixed that bitch.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
what were you listening to?
I don't remember the name of them, but they did something about smile in your sleep or something. Something angry. Because I was mad at my ex that night. And he pissed me off so bad, I went out with his best friend. And, well, needless to say, I had some fun with his best friend. And he was nice. Well, he pissed me off. So I was like, well, I was being a little vindictive.
Okay. It happens.
Yeah, and then I had to go throw his best friend in a bush.
Oh.
I was like, wait here, somebody will come get you. It was bad.
Hilarious. Oh, well.
It happens.
That is hilarious. I almost have actually kind of a situation like that. I was driving. It was in my younger 20s, and I had my ex's car, but he wasn't my ex at the time. Had my ex's car, and I needed to go to an audition, but my new boyfriend was in the car with me, and this mattress flies off the truck and is getting ready to hit.
Oh, no.
The windshield. And I'm like, oh, my God. So, like, I'm swerving to the right, end up going on top of the mattress. And I think we, like, ended up kind of messing up the rim or something. But I was just like, oh, my God, I'm so glad I didn't go to the windshield. Because, like, how do you explain that? Because, you know, I would have had to contact him. But actually, I think it was his sister's car or something. So to get the AAA and then to find out that there's this other dude in the car, like, this just would have been really all bad. So... I was just like, you know what? I think God's trying to tell me something. I need to see.
Oh, wow.
I don't know what he's trying to do. I won't do this anymore.
That is some craziness. Well, we actually have a couple callers hanging on the line that were listening to our call. The car stories and the dog stories. Let's jump in. First, we've got Megan, and I know she was just telling me she had a beagle that sleeps outside or inside. Megan, you're on the air. Go to have at it.
Actually, my name is Sydney. I called.
Sydney.
I called on Thursday, so it's.
Oh, hi.
I'm back on.
Hi.
My dog Jenny. She's a beagle. She howls at night because we have neighbors a couple doors down. Their cat runs out of here in the street, and she doesn't like cats too much. So she howls at it. So.
Interesting.
Yeah. And,
good habit.
And,
well, what do you,
unfortunately,
what do you
I
do
had
to, what do you do to
had,
keep the to keep the dog quiet?
Keep her inside, mostly, and pay attention to her.
You keep her in a crate?
Huh?
I said, you keep her in a crate. That was hilarious.
No. We have a room that she stays in.
Oh.
See, Jeff,
she stays in
the
laundry room in the back.
See, Jeff, this dog gets an entire room, and you give your dog a wooden crate. Come on, what's wrong with your life?
Oh, my God. Michael, PETA is going to be banging down my front door, you son of a bitch. The dog is not in a wooden crate. The dog doesn't go in any kind of a kennel, crate, box, nothing, because she's spoiled as shit, and she sleeps in bed with me, and she's only 13 weeks old. But I'll tell you what, the minute that homegirl pisses on my 1,000 thread count sheets, we're going to have some problems.
Ooh.
Yeah, she gets my dog gets a laundry room in my family's house, so.
Aww.
And she's got
that's
blankets
good,
on the floor and some food, water, you know, all the dog stuff.
Oh. See, she's good to go then. I mean, we used to, back when I was little, we had a dog that had a doghouse outside. The dog never, ever came inside unless it was extremely cold. And we did a similar thing. Like, we would let the dog in the laundry room in the basement, and the dog would sleep inside when it was cold out. But for the most part, the dog was outside. But we got a new dog now, my dad and my stepmom do, and that dog pretty much runs the house. Like, that dog will just come in and plop right down.
Wait, what do you mean
they
have a new dog?
All right. Back in the day when we lived on Bush Hill, we had Snapper. And then, now we have Sadie. But, I can definitely emphasize there. But thank you so much, Sydney, for calling. Snapper, for calling in. We always love to hear comments from our listeners. But thanks so much.
Yeah, I also have two car wreck stories that both were T-bones. And
T-bones, eh?
Ooh.
Were you the one T-boning, or were you T-boned?
Oh, wow. We were at the receiving end of that.
Ooh. Oh, those aren't fun.
Honey, did you call Johnny Cochran?
Huh?
Did you call a good lawyer?
Yeah, my dad was driving, and the first one was in front of Western Carolina University over in Silva. The guy just pretty much ran the red light. We were on the way to the emergency room to because my mom was delivering my little sister.
Oh, wow.
And we were on the way to the emergency room to the hospital, and this drunken idiot just ran the red light and T-boned us.
Mm.
The second one was over here at the Y, and they said she didn't know where she was. She didn't look to see if there were other people, and she just ran right into us.
Wow.
Every time I hear about car wreck stories, my stomach hurts.
After a while, you just get used to it. You become a professional. Like, you know, when you've seen that telephone pole coming, you don't even get scared no more. The person next to you is screaming bloody murder, and all you say is, it's going to hurt.
Chill out. Right. You got to chill out.
Exactly.
You got to
exactly.
Come on this.
Yeah, make sure you got your seatbelt on, because I'm not getting a ticket for taking out the pole and for you not wearing a seatbelt. I mean, come on now.
Exactly.
You know,
I wore my seatbelt because I was younger at the time, and I had no choice because my parents.
Seatbelts are the way to go. They save lives.
Yes.
Absolutely. And don't drink and drive. I think I said that earlier, but I'm going to say it again. Well, thank you so much for calling. We appreciate it. Car crashes. They're crazy. I don't even. Good times.
I've just got to tell you guys something before I forget, because I will. So today, you know, every day I take the dog. I only live like a block over from where I used to live, so we usually go up to my old stomping grounds every day, so I can, you know, see the old hood and bring the dog up there, and we go visit the crazy cat lady. And today, I mean, this bitch has so much time on her hands, it's a little crazy. So today she's like, I'm making a new code. I'm like, excuse me? She's making some new, Zodiac code. Like, basically, I don't know. She's doing it with symbols and stuff, and she's talking about the symbols are going to mean this word or that word and this letter and that letter. And then she says she's going to send it into the FBI to see if they could crack her code. Like, she is, like, trying to, you know, rewrite the Da Vinci Code or something here. I mean, I just looked at her, I'm like, honey, this means you have way too much time on your hands.
Okay, here's the thing. If she sends in a code to the FBI, I think they might try to track her down thinking she's a terrorist or something.
Oh, my.
just saying. I mean, of course, then again, we should have just explained to Angelique and our listeners, this is the same crazy cat lady who has, like, a bunker in her basement, and she has, like, one of those prepaid. She has a prepaid cell phone
if
because
you have
she's afraid of being
phone
tracked.
Books, the big phone books, please forward them to Unscripted Radio, and I will get them to the Crazy Cat Lady, because if there's a Holocaust, let me tell you, I'm going there, because this bitch is going to be boarding up her house with phone books, and she's got canned goods and weapons. I will be there, and her cats will bring back food, so I'm good.
Now, just to explain the phone book thing, that is so when people shoot at her house, bullets can't penetrate phone book. But make sure they're like New York City metropolitan thick, not
Auburn,
New York thick.
Yeah, we need thick ones here, kids.
Yeah, yeah. L.A. County.
I'm out of control!
Regis. Where do you come from? Oh, Lord. Oh, speaking of out of control, did y'all hear what Newt Gingrich went and said the other day?
No, I don't particularly care about him.
Okay, well,
here's the thing.
Here's the thing, guys. Newt Gingrich, along with Mitt Romney, they are pretty much the front runners for the GOP candidate for United States president. The election is coming up here. And make sure you tune in this Friday because we have a very good...
What the hell?
You keep pushing something. We have a huge show coming up this Friday. Michael Fishman will be joining us along with a special guest, Adam Ross, from The Adam Ross Show. So be sure you tune in Friday, 9 p.m. Eastern. But Newt Gingrich, okay, so here's the thing. He basically, in a nutshell, said that poor kids don't know how to work or don't know how to make money unless they're doing something illegal. Well, you know what? Let Newt say it in his own words. Listen to the clip, and then we're going to chat about jobs and kids for a little bit.
Really poor children in really poor neighborhoods have no habits of working and have nobody around them who works. So they literally have no habit of showing up on Monday. They have no habit of staying all day. They have no habit of, I do this and you give me cash, unless it's illegal. And so I come around to this question. You have a very poor neighborhood. You have kids who are required under law to go to school. They have no money. They have no habit of work. What if you paid them part-time in the afternoon? Then we get into the janitor thing, and I get these letters written that say, janitorial work is really hard and really dangerous, and it's this and that. I go, fine. So what if they became assistant janitors, and their job was to mop the floor and clean the bathroom?
How is that not dangerous for children? They're going to be working with chemicals and feces. Like, what kind of a flippin' idiot is this guy?
Newt
Gingrich, I mean, here's my thing with this. Like, first off, the comment that he has to make about, poor kids don't know how to make, he said something about poor kids don't know how to make money unless they're doing something illegal.
Right.
You know, reference into, you know, poor inner city urban centers that, unfortunately, how they know how to make money is by doing things illegally, like by selling drugs. And then
offer up a salary to go to better educating those poor children?
Right. That's my point with this whole thing. That's kind of like my point with this whole thing is, okay, so then the next breath, he's then suggesting that we take these inner city kids and give them part-time jobs as janitors after school. Okay, you're going to pay them, what, $4 an hour to be a part-time janitor cleaning up other kids' crap when they could be out on the street selling a couple dime bags, making 20 times the amount? Hello,
Michael.
What you think? I'm just saying.
Doing their homework.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, exactly. Shouldn't they be doing their homework? I mean, what do you guys think about this? Should kids at that sort of age, and I'm talking like, 14, 15, when you can go out and get your working papers, should kids be worried about learning responsibility from, earning a measly paycheck from working like 9-10 hours a week, or should they be enjoying their childhood and doing stuff like sports and, extracurriculars and like doing honors English or, drama club or whatever,
Right, or volunteering or something. I don't read them at all. That's just
it's completely ignorant. I mean, point blank, it's ignorant. Especially, you know, even though they say, yeah, the inner city kids, they only know certain ways to make money. Well, also, if you go to Beverly Hills and the richer areas, the same kids are making money putting drugs in the school and doing other things. So it's pretty much an epidemic with all the schools. So he can't just sit there and only hit one category. It's everywhere, you know, and he's trying to make it seem like it's just only inner city kids. But he's probably not mm-hmm. trying to go even more specific with that because he knows NAACP and all the other people will be down his back. You know, it just seems like they're coming up with all these different ways to attack the kids, but it really has nothing to do with the kids. It really has to do with what's going on at the home and what's going on in society and the entertainment business and what they're hearing and what they're watching. You know, everybody wants to be a rapper. They're thinking it's easy. You know, hey, I get this money. Let me go get some MJs, buy a chain, and the girls love me. And I'm cool, you know. Let me be on the basketball team or something. Let the kids just play, volunteer. That's what he should have them doing. If he wants to have them out there doing something, he should have them volunteering at Red Cross, have them volunteering at hospitals, have them, you know, doing something that's helping the community. Being a janitor is not helping the community at all.
No. No, it's helping absolutely paying janitors.
Right, and sometimes those janitors don't even clean well anyway, so.
Yeah, right.
Captain's still nasty.
I'm telling you, this thing just trips me out because, you know, I'm already mad.
I just made somebody mad out there.
It's all right. I offend people on a daily basis. Don't worry.
That's okay, honey. I think most janitors at school work nights, so they're not listening to the show. Anyways, I'm just kidding. We love you. You know, somebody's got to clean the john, and I appreciate all the hard work you do. So keep up the good work, janitors. And maybe try to get a better-looking uniform, because, frankly, they're ugly as hell. And I would prefer it if you couldn't use that nasty-smelling cleaner. I'm just saying.
Oh. Jeffrey,
maybe
your mother just
Febreze.
Said you're in
I did not say it.
Send all emails to jeffreyemmett@aol.com.
Right.
Yep.
That's some bullshit.
Oh,
okay.
Wow.
But look, my biggest issues with the schools, they feel like, great, we're learning history, math, science, reading, whatever. Obviously, reading's important. But, you know, I feel like you leave school and you don't have any life skills.
Mm-mm.
And half these kids leave school and they have no self-esteem, which is, in my opinion, usually how they end up getting into trouble.
Right.
You know, and I feel like we need to offer more life lessons, you know, classes that are more geared towards life lessons and what it's going to be like to have a job, because you can go to school forever, but that doesn't mean you can come out of school and actually be good at a job. And I just don't feel there's enough training for children.
No.
And I don't think they should go and do, you know, do this whole janitor thing. Like that thing, you know, that was just the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. But, you know, I mean, I think their classes need to be maybe geared towards more learning a career versus, hi, let's do some algebra. Not saying like we need to get rid of algebra, but I think we need to reevaluate what we're doing. Just me.
No, I definitely get that. I mean, I think my one issue with this is soon, you know, when he started linking poor communities and kids working as janitors, and I'm immediately thinking to myself, that's really breaking the cycle. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I can really get into sociology. Like, as a business major, I wasn't required to take sociology classes. That was always sort of one of my passions, that and art, go figure. But, again, that's really, like, what bothered me the most is, like, you know, you always see these sort of, like, repetitions. Like, kids are going to do what they know. So if their parents are, you know, working as janitors, or if they see their big brother out on the street, you know, peddling dope because that's the only way he knows how to make money, what do you think is going to happen? So rather than giving these kids an opportunity to better themselves or to branch out, he's saying, oh, let's give them ties to their community and stick them in schools as assistant janitors. Are you kidding me?
But it's such an ignorant statement, though, because not all poor kids sell drugs. I've known rich kids that were spoiled, had everything they ever wanted, And they were the biggest drug dealers out of anybody I ever knew.
Exactly. That's my point.
It's just insane to me. It was a really dumb, ignorant, and I think for probably a lot of people it's hurtful. You know, I think that's part
yeah,
of the issue.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, you're kicking people when they're down.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it really just shows how disconnected he is from the people who are going to get him elected, unfortunately.
Right.
Just saying.
Speaking in stereotypical things, I mean, I would think from his comment that stereotypically he's a motherfucking asshole. I say that with love.
Right.
No, he doesn't.
Crazy.
We're getting sued tonight, kids.
For the love of Newt.
Well, okay, Angelique, though, you started working at a young age. How old were you when you started working in TV?
I was 9 months old. Fresh out the womb.
Nice.
I came out the womb working.
She came out with that baby smile and the twinkle in her eye. She was like, put me in the commercial.
You know the thing.
She was the Gerber baby.
Actually, I did a Borax ad. It was for detergent, and that was my first nude paying job.
Wow.
Uh-uh.
Right. You're doing big things in 8 months.
Well, I got to say, you definitely have me beat for being employed at such a young age by probably about a good, oh, gosh, maybe like, 8 months old. God, you'd have me beat by like 16 years. I mean, my first job, I think I was 15 or 16. All I remember is I did have to get a one of those little working permit things, and you had to get a special note from your boss, because if you worked past 9 o'clock in New York, you with your being under 17 or something like that, you couldn't technically drive past 9 unless you had a note from your boss saying that you were going right from work back to home. So, and I worked at a, I don't know if you guys have them out west, but it was a restaurant chain called Friendly's. And it's sort of like a diner, and they really specialize in ice cream. I was actually the fountain worker is what it was called. I made all the ice cream sundaes. Let me tell you, I did not eat ice cream for a good year and a half while I worked there, because when you're covered in it and you've got ice cream in your armpits, in your hair, because it was a freezer that you had to bend down in, ugh.
Hey, that sounds like a dream come true to me.
You weren't allowed to sample the product, Jeff.
Yeah, honey, you know how it would have been one scoop for you, one scoop for me, one scoop for you, one scoop for me.
Two scoop for me. Oh, come on, two scoop for me. Two, four, scoop five.
I know that's right.
Oh, my gosh. That almost reminds me when I was on Randy and Mandy. Like, I didn't even want chocolate for a cool 3 years after that. Nothing chocolate. No Easter chocolate. Nothing.
Oh, my gosh. That's right.
Hey, Valentine's Day, oh, my ex loved me. They was like, yes, we don't have to buy her chocolate. Like, just roses and diamonds, roses and diamonds.
I don't, see, that stuff doesn't bother me. Like, now, if I'm at home cooking all day long, I do not want to eat anything. But when I worked at a sub shop for a while, I mean, I ate it all the time. And I lost, like, crazy amount of weight because, you know, I ate a half a sub. And it was kind of healthy. And, like, you know, that's all I ate.
Mm-hmm.
Sub all the time. Now, though, I'll have a sub from a different place. But the last thing I want is a sub from this particular joint. Because
right.
I mean, for like 3 or 4 years off and on, like that's, oh, good Lord.
I know.
And they got some heavy mayonnaise. That shit'll kill you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but I love mayonnaise. Oh, man, mayonnaise is like one of my weaknesses, though. Like, seriously, just give me a turkey sandwich.
What is wrong with you?
This is Amy. Amy and I, is actually Angelique. Amy is my neighbor. She lives downstairs from me in my apartment complex. We went to Subway tonight for dinner because we both got home a little late from work. And yeah. I'm looking at the thing, and I'm trying to figure out what I wanted. I had a craving for bacon. So I'm like, Amy, I think I'm going to get the big Philly steak and cheese, but have them throw a little bacon and a ton of mayonnaise on there. She goes, you are out of your mind. That is a heart attack waiting to happen. I'm like, yeah, well, I was rear-ended today. I deserve a treat. So
I want a treat. Oh, wait, never mind. I got one. Oh, I'm sorry. Did that make everybody go quiet?
Well, I don't know. You just sort of randomly popped in. I was, ooh, I got a treat.
No, I wanted a treat. Well, look, I was in the screening room doing some work, and I just heard a treat, and I was like, it reminded me of this cheesecake I just got from Wegmans. It was drizzled in caramel, because that's what a fat kid needs in his life.
Cheesecake.
So, speaking of screening rooms, did you happen to meet anyone interesting while you were in there?
I did. We have a caller, Randy, but no Mandy.
Randy?
Who wants to talk about youth today. So, Randy.
Hello?
You're on the air.
Hi, I'm Randy.
And I'm Mandy.
Hi, Randy.
I've been working with chocolate for a long time, and I think the youth today is lazy. These kids don't know anything about hard work. Chocolate is no easy job.
I agree. They need chocolate.
They need chocolate, and chocolate needs them. They can't run the streets doing all these terrible things because it just makes no sense. It's ridiculous. They don't buy you a dollar.
I think, okay, is chocolate code word for something, or am I missing something here?
Oh, my God.
I know my chocolate is chocolate. Somebody's trying to get me
did I miss the boat?
I might have missed the boat.
You didn't have cable as a child. That's what the boat was, baby.
Oh, all right. Well, I'm just going to sit back and enjoy this for a minute then. Continue.
I mean, chocolate, where do I begin with chocolate? I mean, it's just my whole life
chocolate
is chocolate, everything I am. Chocolate showers, chocolate jacuzzi, chocolate
mm-hmm.
bars.
Chocolate bubbles.
Deep fried and chocolate. Yes, exactly.
Chocolate shop.
It's just, I think you might even know more about chocolate than I do.
I probably do. Want some chocolate?
I love chocolate. I think I may have a chocolate.
Look, I think this is a family show.
I just think people need to appreciate hard work, such as the hard work involved in making chocolate and eating chocolate. I don't see what people want to be janitors for. It's all about making the chocolate.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, no.
Well, Randy.
All right, then.
Send me some chocolate.
Am I too chocolate for you?
Hell no. There's no such thing.
Oh, no. Oh, Jesus.
The sooner we reestablish the amount of chocolate in our youth today, the sooner we can restore America. This is the future.
Now, that sounds like a winning presidential platform to me. That's what that sounds like.
Chocolate. Yes, we can, because we have.
Oh, yes. Mouthful of chocolate.
Oh.
Put a chocolate where your mouth is.
Yes. I couldn't agree more.
Oh, goodness. Where is my phone? My, look at the time.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Randy, for calling in. We've only got a few minutes left, and we do have another caller to get to. But I want you to go home, buddy, and enjoy your chocolate.
I will. I am right now.
Enjoy the
thank you very
I bet
much.
You are.
Oh. Oh. My. What the hell just happened?
I have no
Jeff's
idea.
Gonna have to,
Jeff, you're going to have to explain this to me after the show, and we'll have to three-way Joyce, because her and I are lost.
Okay, Angelique, was that somebody you knew?
No, I did not.
I'm sitting here thinking, like, did she set something up and she wasn't going to tell us? I'm like, because that
really
voice kind of sounded familiar. I'm like, and if it's not familiar, he really needs to do a show because he's got a great voice.
Right.
I was like, honey, I want to listen to him talk about some Quiet Storm at 9 p.m.
Okay. No, I don't know who that was. He knew about his chocolate, though.
I would say so.
I know how to for her.
Honey, that was just some all that shit.
Right. That was all that gone wild.
Wait, what the hell is it? Stop. Look and watch. Get ready, set. It's all that.
Uncut.
And uncensored. Ooh.
Oh, my.
All right, well, we've got one last call, and we got about 3 minutes left. So, Jacqueline, you've got about a minute. Go.
Hi, Angelique.
Hi, Jacqueline.
It's so good to talk to you. Okay, so
Jacqueline,
I just wanted to...
do you have chocolate?
What?
Nothing, never mind.
I was listening, though. That was hilarious. Okay, so... I just wanted to call in to talk to Angelique about, okay, so the event that I'm doing, Jenna has been helping me a lot. I know she's been talking to you, too.
Yes.
But her birthday is coming up next week, too, and she's trying to plan a surprise for me through you, you know, with you and Alisa, and I was like, she's trying to drop all these things for me. She wanted to tell me today, and I was like, and her, I know her birthday is coming up, so I'm planning a surprise with Katrina for her.
Okay.
But, and I was going to say,
and you're talking about it on the radio?
Yeah, I was going to say, she's probably listening right now, so it's probably not a surprise anymore.
She's listening, but I'm not, she doesn't know anything, but
okay.
She actually,
well, she's listening,
yeah,
she do now.
No, she knows, she knows that I'm planning a surprise for her with Katrina, but she doesn't know what it is. She's already told me a billion things about mine, and I, you know, but... no, I just want to, okay, so the thing with my event, we sent out the money and stuff, and, like, this whole thing with the surprise thing, like, we're all excited about coming in February and finally meeting you all you guys, so, and this whole thing is going to cheer her up, because after this weekend, I know that she had her accident and her car accident, too, so, and
yeah.
She's been home alone, so the family's not there, so,
okay.
But, yeah, we've been talking, like, nonstop for the past few weeks.
Okay.
About this, like, this event and stuff, so.
Okay.
Well,
anyway,
I just wanted to call and say
hi.
And thanks for the interview, too.
No problem. I can't wait to see you. It was great to finally talk to you. And I'm not telling you what your surprise is.
Well,
she wanted to tell me today. I was like, no. She's like, I don't like surprises either, but, you know, I didn't tell her anything. I mean, I had to make a special account just to talk to Kat about it because she's so, it's funny. But, you know, she's just been going through a lot and, you know, talking to her, we literally talk like nonstop and, you know, every day we're talking about the event. We're still working on a bunch of things, and I'm excited to talk to Alisa, too, because I'm having her speak at the convention next July for the Down Syndrome Convention. It's going to be in Orange County in California, so I'll be out there twice, actually, next year.
Jacqueline, I hate to cut you off, baby, but we got to let you go because we got to end the show.
All right.
Okay,
well,
Angelique, is there anything you want to promote before you go?
Well... Make sure you guys check out 35 and Ticking. It's on DVD right now with Kevin Hart, Mike Epps, myself, Megan Good, Tamara Jones. I have a single out called Can't Fade Me Now. Can't Fade Me Now. Get it on iTunes. I don't sing it like that, but, you know, get it on iTunes.
You need to send us so we can play a clip.
Angelique, thanks so much for being here. We'd love to have you back anytime.
Yeah.
You are a fantastic
special guest co-host. Emphasis, underline, and all of that. I mean, you're a complete riot. And for all of you guys that listened in the chat room, tell your friends. Our shows are archived on demand. Anytime you want to catch up, just go and press play. And from all of us here at Unscripted Radio, take a little time to enjoy some chocolate.
Yes.
That was kind of sexual, Michael. I'm kind of grossed out.